Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah and look at the second chapter. The book of Nehemiah is one of these books that excites you because of the principles that are contained therein. As we began this series of lessons, we said that there were three things that we're looking for, three things that we're focusing on in the book of Nehemiah. And that is, the Bible tells us that the people had a mind to work. Now when you look at this, the Bible said, so built we the wall, Nehemiah 4 verse 6, so built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work. And so we really based it on three things, and we entitled it, this series, Building. Building buildings, building leadership, and building spirituality. As you and I look at the book of Nehemiah, and if you'll remember the first lesson, I simply pointed out that Nehemiah was the last book of the Old Testament. Not in the sense of the chronology of the 39 books that we have, that's Malachi. But everything past the book of Nehemiah took place before the book of Nehemiah. For an example, if you look at the Psalms, if you look at Job, as a matter of fact, one of the interesting things, and we don't have time to pursue this tonight, but the book of Job, you know, we've got Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. In all probability, if you take the book of Job, it literally goes back to the book of Genesis, that it would fit into a particular section in the book of Genesis. But now, it comes, as far as our books of the Old Testament is concerned, comes after Nehemiah. If you take the books of 1st, 2nd Samuel and Kings and all of those, but if you go past that and you go to Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of those Old Testament books, you can go back and they will fit into all of the books from Genesis down through Nehemiah. Here's what has happened. As I have told you before, Paul said, he said, if I told you before, so say I now again. I've said this before, so say I now again. That Nehemiah comes back to the city of Jerusalem. The city has been destroyed. And they have been taken into captivity. Because of the sin of the children of Israel, they were taken into captivity. There was more than one. They had gone into Babylonian captivity. They had gone into Assyrian captivity. And so what you find them in captivity. And so now the message comes back to Nehemiah. Ezra had already gone back. Zerubbabel had already gone back. It was Zerubbabel's job to go back and to build and restore the temple. Ezra went back to restore the worship in the temple. Now, if we had time tonight, or had time, maybe we'll do this in a later series. Ezra, they got started and then stopped. Now, the book of Ezra helps us to understand how to get started again. Sometimes folks get discouraged. Sometimes folks become depressed. Sometimes things don't always move as quickly as they ought to move. When you're building a building, when you're developing a life, when you're working on an attitude, it doesn't always take place as quickly as we'd like for it to take place. The people became discouraged and they stopped building the temple. Ezra goes back and we find basically that he encourages them and they begin to do that. Now then, Nehemiah gets word that the walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed, the gates have been burned. He is sad. We read in Nehemiah chapter number 1, he goes before the king and the king gives him letters to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild that wall. In Nehemiah chapter 2, you and I tonight are going to look at 6 basic principles that Nehemiah used in rebuilding the wall. Somebody said, well, we're not building a wall. No, we're building a church building. We're building a place to worship in. We're building leadership, and we are also building spirituality. Now, I want to tell you tonight that these 6 principles that I'm going to give you based on Nehemiah chapter number 2 will fit into your life in spirituality and leadership, and it will fit into the life of the Lithia Springs Church of Christ in building a new church building. You can take these 6 principles and improve your life. We can take these six principles and we can improve leadership. Nehemiah is a book about principles. Now, we take these facts of Nehemiah and then we fit them into our lives on a daily basis. If you have a copy of the Bible, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. I'm going to read in chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. I'm going to give you these 6 points. And then we'll sing our song of encouragement. He said, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." Now, if you just go back up in chapter number 1, if you'll remember, we looked at the fact that he had an anguish about him. We looked at his prayer. Do you remember the prayer that Nehemiah prayed? We saw the confidence of that prayer. We saw the fact that he put his trust and faith in God in that prayer. We saw the fact that he made a confession of his sin and that of the nation in that prayer. And so now we come down to the 2nd chapter, and the Bible says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode on." In other words, for the young people, that was his horse. He's riding on a horse, apparently. He said, "And I went out by night, by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we His servants will arise and build, but you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." I think when you and I look at this passage of Scripture, I mean, folks, it is one that can guide us in whatever we're doing in our life. 6 principles, and we'll do these in a matter of 4.5 hours. Number one is this. I want you to see that Nehemiah fixed his focus. Look at what he did. Go back to verse number 12. He said, "And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do." He had a focus. You know, so many times in life, we don't have a focus, we don't have a goal. When you ask many folks, "What is your goal in life?" Well, they don't have one. "What do you want to accomplish with your life?" Well, I don't know. A young person. I'm talking about a college student or someone, maybe even out of college. There are individuals who spend more time planning a 2-week vacation than they do planning their lives. What do you and I expect to accomplish? You see, he had a goal. He had fixed his focus. So many times, you and I, see, it's easy to wander off here and wander off there and get ourselves involved in so many things that we lose sight of the focus that God has given to us. many times. I mean, congregations, so many times, they'll get started in some project and they'll work on it for a little while. But then if the devil wants to stop a good work, the best way to do it is to take an individual off of their focus. Look at what he said here. I went out by night, by the gate of the valley. I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. He said, I had this goal, I had this purpose. When I turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 12, and I read about Peter was kept in prison, and the Bible said that the church come together and they were praying for Peter. What did they have? They had a focus. When I read about Jesus and the life of Christ, I read about the fact, I remember on one occasion in the New Testament when Jesus had gone through the city of Samaria, and they wanted him to stay there. But the Bible says that his eye was set on Jerusalem. In Luke 19:10, Jesus had a focus. He said, I am come to seek and to save those which are lost. When you and I look at the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Paul had a focus. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had a focus. Several years ago, there was a large denominational church in the city of Atlanta. As a matter of fact, the denomination had declared this group to be the fastest growing Bible school in America. And this church had received many awards. And one day, a reporter came to speak with, and I'm going to use their terminology, came to speak with their pastor. And he was showing them all about their plan and about their building and about their auditorium and how many it would seat. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. For 14 years straight, 14 years, they baptized somebody every Sunday in that denomination, and they don't even believe in baptism. Now think about that. And this reporter asked the preacher, he said, you know, I guess you see all this. What do you think? He said, let me tell you something. He said, I saw this 10 years ago. This didn't just come about. He said, I made plans 10 years ago. He said, I knew where we were going to build this building. I knew how many members we were going to have. I knew what we were going to do. What did he do? He had a focus. When you look, I mean, folks, you just look at whatever business has been successful. There are principles contained in this message. That one of those principles contained in this message is that in our lives, whether it be a congregation or whether it be in your life, what is your goal? I like to study businesses. Successful businesses. It's kind of interesting. A fellow was in school. As a matter of fact, he dropped out of school. And he wrote, they laughed at his professor. Now, think about it. I'm going to tell you, his professor, he put together, he was in, I guess, some kind of business school, and he put together a business plan and presented it to his professor. And you know what his professor did? He laughed at him. This won't work. But you drive to Memphis, Tennessee tonight. And in Memphis, Tennessee, there is a business there. And I'll guarantee you, in the last 2 days, you have seen the effects of that business in this area. It's called FedEx. And what he did, he talked about how you could have a center, and then how that you could take these packages and these things, and you could send them to a certain spot, and then direct them out, and they laughed at him. So he said, okay, I'll just take my business plan and prove it that it can be done. Nehemiah fixed his focus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. When the Church of Jesus Christ can fix its focus, it is amazing what we can accomplish. I got to go on. I'm still on point number one. I got six. Number two, he found his facts. Go with me. The verse number 13. I won't read all of this. 13, 14, 15. What did he do? He said, I went out here by the dragon well and I went to the dung port and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. He did not keep his head in the sand like an ostrich. See, ladies and gentlemen, there are facts. There are facts that you have to face. If you want to get a college degree in some area, then first of all, you got to make an application. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, there are some folks who want to see things happen. They want to see it happen in the church. They want to see things happen in their life. They want to get a college education, or they want to get this job or that job or do this or do that. And what they need to do is they need to find out what the facts are. What are the facts? Nehemiah went out and he said, I've got to look at this thing. Folks, there is a question of reality in our life. Now, I'm one, I don't see reality. I can see the end result. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, when in your life and mine, here is a principle. And that principle is there are facts that we need to have. Number three. He formed a fellowship. Go with me to verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress, watch this. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth wait, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, listen to this. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. This wasn't a one-man show. Nehemiah didn't say, okay guys, here's what I'm going to do. No. He got them together. He said, let's look at this thing. I love this. I love this verse right here. He says that we be no more a reproach. Do we want to continue to be a reproach? Oh, he said, come on. Let's look at it. So he formed this fellowship. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we need each other. We need you. We need one another. See, nothing is going to be accomplished in life without the help of other people. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Have you ever seen the geese? Have you ever seen them fly in a V shape? Have you ever noticed that there's one wing of that V shape longer than the other? You know why that is? There are more birds in that one. And so, they fly in this V shape. And this number one goose, I'm telling you, that old boy is flapping his wings. This background, the ones behind him, they don't have to flout near as much. Because he's flapping up there, and that's coming by, and these others, now, he gets tired. Guess what he does? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we wear some of our good brethren out because some folks don't want to move up to the goose head line. You see, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that statistics say that these geese can fly 72% longer and farther than one of them could do it alone? I want you to think about this. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a fellowship. It's not a one-man show. It takes every man, woman, boy, and girl. But you know, there's a certain amount of money that's put in cash in our collection plate. Some weeks there may be $350 in cash. not counting checks, what folks contribute. Some weeks, and sometimes that can go several weeks, that'll go down to $150. I want to show you something. You think about this. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Acuff, my little $5 don't mean anything. Yeah, it does. Do you know what happens? I'm generality. I'm not any congregation. It doesn't matter. Do you know what happens? You think about this. If a congregation is giving $200 just in dollar bills and a five here and a ten here, and it stops, do you realize that that's $10,000 a year? Do you realize that $10,000 that we think is just loose change, that we don't contribute to the work of the Lord, supports Brother Robert Martin over in the Pacific Islands and Rain Tree Village Children's Home? What does that mean? That means that we formed a fellowship together, ladies and gentlemen. Not one or two or three, but together. You see, not everybody can do what somebody else can do. Everybody in this congregation, God has a plan for you for His work. Now, what I challenge you to do is find out what that is and do it. Number four. Not only did He fix His focus, not only did He find His facts, not only did He form a fellowship, but He fortified His faith. I want you to look at verse 18. Look at what He said. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. He said, I want to build you up in the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, Romans 8:28 is one of the greatest passages of the Bible. Because the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. All of you have seen the footprints in the sands of time. When the picture and the prayer was, God, you know, when things were toughest, I was walking by myself and God said, no, son, when things were toughest, I'm the one doing the walking and I'm carrying you. You see, our faith is fortified. All right, number five. Not only did He fix His focus, not only did He find His facts, not only did He form His fellowship, not only did He fortify His faith, but He faced His foes. Watch this. Verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it. Man, they laughed us to scorn. You know what they did later on? They said, if a fox go up that wall, it'll fall down. If we had to show you, and I'll talk about it more later on, but to show you when He formed this fellowship and He got them all, do you know, if you read on later in Nehemiah, do you know what He did? He placed those folks. They worked on the wall near where they lived. He didn't send them all the way on the other side of Jerusalem. Oh no, you live over here, then you work on this section of the wall. Sanballat and the Arabian and Tobiah. Let me tell you. He faced the foe. Hey, there'll always be those that don't want to do anything. There were those there who didn't want to do anything. The nobles of Tekoa, the Bible says, laid not their neck to the work of the Lord. There'll be obstacles. The door of success swings on the hinge of opposition. How do you think that we've found things in life that have benefited us? Because there was an obstacle in the way. And somebody looked at that obstacle and said, you know what? I can figure out a way around that. I like the philosophy of the ant. See, the ant, he'll go over, under, around. I'm telling you, he'll do whatever he doesn't give up. The ant doesn't give up. The Bible said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. the ant thinks winter all summer. He said, "Well, hey man, everybody's not going on a picnic in a few weeks. It's going to get cold, so I better get everything ready." And he'll get that food stored down in the ground. And you know what he's down there in the winter? You know what he thinks? He thinks summer all winter. He said, "This ain't going to last long. On the first 70-degree day in March, people go on a picnic, go buy ice cream. Where is it? Who comes out? The ant. He'll greet you and say hello. There'll be obstacles." There'll be obstacles in building that auditorium. There'll be obstacles when you try to go to college. There'll be obstacles when you try to get a job. There'll be obstacles when you get married. There's going to be obstacles, folks. Now then, let's go to the sixth point. And that is this. He fulfilled the function. Go to verse number 20. "Then answered I them and said to them, the God of heaven, He will prosper. Therefore, we His servants, we will arise and build. So built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work."